Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Tainis Daf Chof Beis. We are going to begin 2 lines into the wider lines with the words Rav Broka Choza. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas William Pakris Velvel Ben Beryl. All the neshamas we learned for should have an aliyah from our learning. And we continue with these wonderful stories. Again, starting off today with another fascinating story. We begin Chof Beis Amud Aleph, 2 lines into the wide lines with the story about Rav Broka. Rav Broka was a great, great Talmud Chacham, and the story begins Rav Broka Choza. Rav Broka came from a place known as Chozor, Mibei Chozor, Rashi says, and have a shchiach, he would regularly go and visit Bishuka de Ve'lefet, another place called Ve'lefet, had a marketplace there, and used to go from his hometown of Bei Chozor to de Ve'lefet. Now, have a shchiach Elio Gabe. Rav Broka was a great individual, and he would regularly have conversations with Elio HaNobi. There are many great Tanoim and Amarayim, and even individuals after that period of time that had the unbelievable merit to have conversations at the sea, Elio HaNobi. Amaleu, Rav Broka said to Elio, a strange question, Ika Bahai Shuka, is there anybody over here in the Shuka Dvei Lefet who is Bar Alma Di Osi, who's a Ben Olam Haba, who's going to be in the world to come? Now, this is a very strange question, because we know that L'chol Yisrael, Yesod Chelik, Olam Haba. So what was he exactly asking? So the Mefarshim explained that he was talking about, this is the way the Anaf Yosef understands it, he's talking about a person who wouldn't need to go through Gehenim in order to get to the Olam Haba. Well, L'chol Yisrael, Yesod Chelik, Olam Haba, there are some people, many people, Nebuch, that are going to have to need a Tahara process and be in Gehenim to get to their share in Olam Haba. So he was asking, is there anybody here that's a Tzadik Gomor that won't need to go through Gehenim to get to Olam Haba? An alternate way of looking at it is in the Sefer, Lishmoa Belimudim, where he brings down a Gemara in Sanhedrin, again, Kol Yisrael Yesh L'Chelik Olam Haba, and he says that the question that Rav Broka was asking to Eliyahu Navi, is there a muflog over here, somebody who's so Ben Olam Haba that he overshadows everybody else? He brings down the example, if you have a lot of rich people in a town, so you say, where's the rich people in this town? So he said, which rich person are you looking for? There's this one, that one, there's many of them. But if there's a person who is muflog, he is so above everybody else, if you live in the town where the Elon Musk lives. So if you ask, where's the rich guy in town? You don't say, well, which rich guy did you mean? You're talking about the richest person in the world. So he's muflog. He's so much different than everybody else. So that's what Rav Broka was asking. Is there anybody here that is so different than everybody else that he's a Ben Olam Haba? Finally, the Yun Yaakov has a different way of looking at it. He says, he was asking, is there anybody here that is guaranteed not to lose their share in the Olam Haba? Well, granted, everybody in the Goran Sanhedrin says, Yeshlem Yisrael Chelik L'Olam Haba, it doesn't mean that you can't lose it. So he was asking, is there anybody here that is so great that they're Vadai not going to lose their Chelik in Olam Haba? That was the question, according to the Yun Yaakov. In any event, that's what we're broken. That's Eliyahu Navi. And Elio tells him the answer, Amalei, lo, no, there's nobody in this shuk, in this shukah de ve'lefet, that is guaranteed to be a Ben Olam Haba. That's the simple understanding. No, Atochi v'hochi, they're continuing their conversation and walking together, Elio and Rav Broka, Chozul hau gavra, da v'sayim misane uchme, v'lo rame chuto de techelto biglime. They are walking and they see this person who clearly doesn't look Jewish because he's either wearing black shoes or black shoelaces, which was not the custom of the Jews. That's the way the Mefarshim explained this. And he didn't have tchelis on the corners of his garment. In other words, he was wearing tzitzis. So he appeared not to be a religious Jew. He didn't appear to be an Orthodox Jew. And nevertheless, Amalei, hi bar olma de Asi Elio, tells Rav Broka, oh, this yid is a Ben Olam Haba. So Rav Broka wants to find out what is his special merit. So Rod Basrei, he runs after him. He finally catches him. Unfortunately, he called out to him, but he didn't respond. So he had to run after him. So he finally reaches up to him. Amalei, my Ovdoch, what do you do? What's your reason, he was asking basically, that you're definitely Ben Olam Haba? So this person surprisingly tells him, Amalei, essentially, I don't have time to talk with you right now. Zil, go away. Ha'idna now. V'solimokha, and come back tomorrow. And I'll tell you that. No. We'll explain what this means in a moment in the Gemara, but it's a very strange response. Lamachar, no, Rav Broka is determined to find out who this person is. Amalei, my Ovdach. He finds this man again the next day, and he says, no, what do you do? What merits do you have, essentially, that you're Zocha to Ben Olam Haba? So Amalei, so this person told him, Zandukna ana. I'm a Zandukna. What is a Zandukna? So Rashi explains, this is meaning that he was a jail guard. Shomer Beis Wasur. He's working in the jails, guarding the prisoners in the jail. But I'm in charge over there, and I separate the men from the women, so there shouldn't be impropriety. And I put my bed, puryoi means his bed, where you sleep. The word puryoi means he slept in between the men's section and the women's section, so there wouldn't be any fooling around. There wouldn't be any immorality going on. And this way he could guarantee that they would be separate, and the women would be protected. So nobody should come and do an isser. He made sure that that didn't happen. Furthermore, and when I see Nebuch, that either the guards, the Goyisha guards, or the other prisoners there have their eyes on a certain Jewish woman, Rachmana Litzlan, Masarna Navshoi Metzunullah. I put myself at risk by stopping those guards from doing what they want to do. They're my equals, and they could overpower me, or they could get me in trouble. But nevertheless, I put my life at risk to prevent them from Rachmana Litzlan assaulting this young Jewish girl. And one day, there was a woman who was halachically through the first stage of marriage. She had been through the Erisin. They used to separate the Erisin and the Nisuin by up to a year, and therefore she was fully married, albeit she hadn't yet lived with her husband, and therefore she's also a Cholada. And there was this Naru Maraso there, and the Goyisha guards had their eyes on her, and they wanted to violate her, Rachmana Litzlan. So Shakli Durdaya de Chamra, Ushidai La Bishipula. So he took Durdai de Chamra, is like the dregs of wine, the shvarim that are at the bottom of a bottle of wine, Ushtai, and he threw it, La Bishipula, on the bottom of her dress. And this way it looked like she was in Nida. The Amri, and he said, this Dinohi, oh, she's a woman in Nida. And as Rashi points out, even by the Goyim, that was a reason not to have relations with her, not to assault this woman. She said, he told them, Derech Noshim, well, you see that she is a Dish Dinor, some have the gifts of Dish Dinor, Derech Noshim, a Musi, and therefore she is disgusting, even to you who want to violate her. And therefore, he was able to save this girl from being Rachmana Lislan violated. Oh, Rebroker sees it. He's something special. He's putting his life at risk to save these Jewish girls and to stop immorality. So I'm like, so yes, and no, my time, Les L'cha Chuti, why don't you have tzitzis on your clothing? And why are you wearing varamis misani yuchmei? Why are you wearing either black shoes or these black shoelaces, which was not a minog of the Jews? It was minogakum. So why are you doing that? You're such a tzaddik. You're obviously a good person. So why aren't you doing these mitzvos? So I'm late. So this person told him, because I'm allowed to go and wear these non-Jewish clothing and not put on tzitzis in order to not show that I'm Jewish, and therefore I can accomplish much for the Jewish people. Ailina v'nafkina b'ni nochun. They think that I'm a guy, and therefore I can go with freedom amongst them and find out their plots and foil them. Ki hech d'leledud yudah anah. They won't know that I'm Jewish. They won't be afraid to tell me their plots. Let's go get the Jews. And ki habi gozri gzerta. And when they would go make decrees against the Jewish people or cock plans to go and hurt the Jewish people, modana lula rabbanan. I can go and tell the rabbis, and the rabbis hopefully can daven and pray and maybe use bribes to get these horrible decrees stopped. Uboy rachme. And the rabbis will go daven uvat legzertayu. And they'll be able to annul and get rid of these evil decrees and plots that these goyim are starting up with us. No, so Rebroker says, you're a tzaddik gomer, I can see. My taima, kiamin aloch ana, my avdach, v'amrisli zil ha'idda, v'salamocha. So then why, when I reached you yesterday, you're telling me today, so why did you tell me yesterday? Why, when I asked you yesterday, what do you do, did you tell me, come back tomorrow, and you'll tell me then? Why did you tell me yesterday? So Amalei, so this tzaddik, this Jewish jail guard said, Amalei, v'ayishayta gosrei gzerta, v'amina b'reisha ezel v'yashma l'rabbanu, because I just had found out about some plot that they were concocting against us, some gzera that they were going to institute. I said, I got to rush to the rabbis right away to go and warn them so they could go and take care of this terrible decree. D'libay rachmei Allah. So they could go and daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and do whatever else they needed to do to get rid of this decree. Therefore, I didn't have time to talk with you. And I said, come back tomorrow and I'll talk with you then. No, this person was certainly meriting the world to come. No, Rebroker continues to walk with Eliyahu Navi. I talk about it. They continue to walk. Asu Hanoch Trey. That's the Gersa that we have. Two more people came into their view. And Asi Amalei, Eliyahu again came to him. That's the Gersa that we have. Others say that Asu Hanoch Trey Ache. There were two brothers, not Ossi, but Ochi. In any event, whatever the gears is, Eliyahu goes and tells Rebroker, these two guys, Hanach Nami, b'nei Alma de Ossi Ninu. These two are also deserving of great merit. They will have their share of the world to come. Nope. Rebroka is interested in finding out what merit they have. Ozlagabayu, he goes up to them and says to them, Amalu, my Obadchayu, what do you guys do? Because you're obviously special people, so what do? So these two people told him, either these two brothers, or these two people said, Inche Badolche Anan, Anivadchinon Atzive, where local jesters, we're batchonim, right? Batchonim are the people that make up all sorts of funny things at a wedding. They do gramin or they do other things. So they're batchonim. So we're batchonim. We make people happy. We cheer up those people that are sad. Now, that's a beautiful thing to do. Alternatively, inami, ki chazinam beitrei, dislu tigro bahadayu, torchinon v'avdinan lushama. Or, alternatively, when they see two people that are fighting with each other, they're having, unfortunately, a sichsuch with each other, tigra, badayu, so then we go and we trouble ourselves and we try to make shalom between them. So there are people that either make sad people happy or the people that go and bring peace between quarreling people, like Aaron Akoin used to do, and therefore they were zocha to the world to come. These people cheered up other people, stopped machlokis, can't do better than that, and that's why they were zocha to the Olam Haba. There is a very interesting explanation brought down by the Chedushei Gaonim that said, no, that can't simply just be it. It's that they went to people that were sad because those people didn't know how to learn Torah, and they taught them Torah because of the idea, Pikudi Hashem Yishar Misam Chilev. That's what it meant they were about Chonim. They taught people that didn't know how to learn Torah. And this is like the famous story of Rav Preda, that he taught somebody 400 times because the person had difficulty understanding it, so he was able to finally teach it to them. So these Bad Chonim, according to the Chidushei Gaonim, were actually Molandim, and they brought Simcha to the world by teaching people Torah. The greatest Simcha is Torah. Again, fascinating story, fascinating people. I'll add, I said this Gemara over Nebuch at the time that my mother-in-law, Esther Etel, Bas Zalman Yosef, was Nifteris, and I said this over at her Levaya, that she was one of those people that would make everybody happy, that she would always have a smile on her face, and that she would be like these Batchanim, and she should be Zocha to have a share in the world to come. The Mishnah continues and says, Aleilu Masriim B'chol Makom. The Mishnah tells us for these types of calamities, you have to go and be Masriya. No matter where these calamities are, you have to go Masriya on them. So the Brisa expands on this a little bit more. Tana Rabbanon, the Brisa tells us, Al Elu Masriim B'chol Makom, again, for these types of tzaras for Klal Yisrael, so even if they're not where you are, you have to go and be Masriya. For example, Al Hashidafon, this is a certain type of a wind, we said it comes from the south, that causes a terrible destruction, and it will destroy the crops. Bala Yerokon, we have two interpretations, either it's continuing with, it's a certain type of a crop destruction that makes the crops yellow, or it was talking about a certain type of jaundice on people. V'al arbe, v'chosil, various types of locusts, various types of grasshoppers that come. V'chayro, if animals attack human beings. Rabbi Akiva adds to this, Rabbi Akiva Omer. Unfortunately, we're saying that Rabbi Akiva is not arguing here with the Tanakhama, he's further explaining the Tanakhama. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Allah Shidofon v'ala Yerokon b'choshu, any amount of Shidofon or Yerokon, that is cause for concern, and you have to be Masriya. Arba v'chasil, afilu nir b'yaritzol, el knaf echad, Masriya olem. Even you only see one wing, if you only see one arbe ochsil, so that's enough of a concern as well, Masriya olem, everybody has to go and be Masriya. The Mishnah continues and said, v'alchai v'chule, it said, if you have chai raw, if you have animals, wild animals, so then you have to also be Masriya. Now, Tana Rabbanan, the Brisa explains this further. Chayera or Shamu, that which the Mishnah said, that if you see a Chayera, you have to be Masriya, that's only if it's an unusual Chayera. Bizman shi mishulachas, if it's clearly coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi says, min hashamay. Mishulachas means clearly that Hashem sent it. In other words, the animal is acting in an abnormal way. An animal normally wouldn't act like that. And the fact that this animal is acting like this is a simon that it comes from Shamayim, and therefore that's dangerous, and we have to be Masriya. However, that's only if it's Zman Shi Mishulachas Masriya Olel. Ain't a Mishulachas, if the animal's acting in a normal way, there's nothing wrong. If you see a lion in the forest, that doesn't mean, this is terrible for us. The lion lives over there in the savannah. The lion is supposed to be over there. So if you see it, that's not a simin min hashamayim that there's going to be trouble. So therefore, Ain't Masriya Olel. If the animal's acting in a normal way, that's not a simin min hashamayim that you have to be Masriya on it. If the animal's acting in an abnormal way, that's something to be concerned about. What are the definitions? Ezu mishulachas, ve'ezu hish, and mishulachas. What's the definition of it's normal And what's the definition of it? It's abnormal? So it depends. Nearest, but here, if you see an animal in the middle of the city, so then that's not normal. Lions don't come into the city. And therefore, Mishulachas, that's clearly HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending it, and that's something that we should be concerned about and Masrin allow. However, Basadim, you see the animal out in the savannah, you see the animal out in the field, so that's normal. And Mishulachas, you don't go and declare fasts and all sorts of things because you saw an animal in the wild. Likewise, Bayom, if you see an animal during the day, which is, again, not the normal way, animals don't hang out in the day. It's hot during the day, so they sleep during the day, and they hunt at night. Therefore, if you see lions in the daytime, mishulachas, that's considered mishulachas. But Belayla, if you see them at night, ain't mishulachas, that's not considered mishulachas. And we'll explain, there seems to be steers over here within this brisa, which we'll explain momentarily in the Gemara, so don't worry about them right now. Likewise, if a lion runs after two people, which is not something it normally would do, it normally would be scared of multiple people, so then mishulachas, that's a sin, and that it comes from Shemayim, and that we should be masriyin. But the lion runs away when it sees some people, so then, so that's normal, and therefore that's not something you must be on. Likewise, if it attacked two people and ate one of them, that's abnormal, because lions normally only attack when they're hungry, and therefore if it attacked two people, killed two people, but only ate one, so then that's unusual. Why did it attack the second one? It should have been happy it got one, eat it up, and then it will be satisfied. So why did it attack the other one? Oh, must be a similar Shemayim. Tosus points out that this is a revusa. This is telling us extra information here. The Afo Gab the Ochle Echmein. You might have thought, well, at least they ate one of them, so maybe it's normal. So the Chiddush is over here that this is called Mushlachas, even if it ate just one of them, because certainly if it ate none of them, that would be mushlachas, because lions don't kill normally unless they're hungry. So you would say, okay, sure, if it killed two of them and didn't eat one of them, that's mushlachas. But maybe they ate one of them, so that's a sign that it was somewhat hungry, so then it's not called mushlachas, no. Unless it eats both of them, Tosu says that's called mishulachas. Ochlu shneyem, however, ain't mushlachas. Then it was hungry, so it needed a large meal. It wasn't happy with just one person as the meal. It needed two people as the meal, so therefore that's not called abnormal. Also, legag binot l'tinok mi'arisa mishulachas. If it goes up to the roof and takes a baby nebuch that's on the roof, the roofs were flat. They used to use the roofs like as a porch, and therefore, if the lion went up to the roof, which is very unusual, so then that is called a mishulachas as well. That's unusual. Now, the Gemara will explain the brisa in more detail. Hagufakasha. As I mentioned, there are a number of internal contradictions in this brisa, which the Gemara is now going to reconcile. It says Amris. Nirasa be'ir mishulachas. If you see it in the city, that's a sign that it's abnormal and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent it. And doesn't seem to differentiate. Lo shno b'yom, lo shno b'layil. Doesn't seem to make any difference when you see it in the day or in the nighttime. But then, for other amos, the Brisa said, only during the day, b'yom mishulachas, b'layil ain't mishulachas. So it seems to be internally contradictory. If you see it in the city during the nighttime, the second part says ain't mishulachas, but the first part says it's mishulachas. So which one is it? One says, look, Kasha, it's not a problem. This is what the Brisa is telling us. If you see it in the city, so then bayom mishulachas. However, if you see it ba'ir ba'layla, so then it's not mishulachas, because it does sometimes go into the city at nighttime. That's one way to understand it. Inami basade, alternatively, if you see it in the field, so then afilu, the gear should be vafilu bayom. So then in the field, even during the daytime, it's not called mishulachas. However, besod b'layla, ain't mishulachas. And likewise, if you see it at night out in the field, it's not considered mishulachas. So we're not goris that, or we are goris that. Bottom line is, you can reconcile this by saying it depends where you see it and what it's doing when you see it. Similarly, Ross or Shnei Be'odom, Ross Acharei, and Mishulachas, we said in the Braisa that if it sees two people, it runs after them, that's abnormal. It should normally run away from two people, so if it runs after the two people, that's called Mishulachas. But that implies, Ha'omedis, if it doesn't run away, that it's not called Eina Mishulachas, that's not called Mishulachas. Aye, but then it says, Oda Amris, Nech Be'sbibnehem, if it runs away, so then it's not called Eina Mishulachas. That's not called that HaKadosh Baruch Hu send it. It's Eina Mishulachas. Ha'omedis, implication being, if it stands still, Mishulachas. So it seems to be the two implications are contradictory. If it stands still, the first implication is that is not mishulachas, and the second implication is if it stands still, that is mishulachas. Which one is it? Someone says lokasha. It's not a contradiction as well. Kan besoda smuchli agam. Kan besoda shena smuchli agam. It depends how close it is to home. Agam is a marsh, Rashi says. So that's easily able for the animal to hide there and feel safe. So if it's near the agam, it doesn't necessarily going to run away when it sees people, because it knows it has plenty of opportunity to run to the agam right there. So therefore, if it just stands still, that's not considered mishulachas if it's by the agam. But if it's nowhere near the agam, and then it stands still and doesn't run away, so then that's abnormal, and therefore that's mishulachas. That's considered, it's a sign from Shemayim that things are bad. Likewise, the Gemara says, Tarfo shnei bnei adam ki echad v'yochel echad meyem mishulachas, but shneim ein mishulachas. If it ate one of the two people, that's called mishulachas, because a lion normally doesn't kill and not eat. But if it ate both of them, then it was hungry. So therefore, it's not called mishulachas. But then it said, bo'amris afilu ratzitza, even if it runs after them, that's a sign of mishulachas, even if it doesn't catch them and doesn't eat them. So what's going on over here? So I'm Rav Papa, no, ki tani yahi, that which we said, that it has to kill two people, and that's not considered mishulachas if it's hungry, that's be'agma, again, because that's in its normal place. It is going to kill even two people. And therefore, it's not unusual for it to do so in the agam, or it's near the agam. But in the open, that would be unusual, and therefore would be mishulachas. Now the Gemara says, Gufo, look what the Brisa said, also legag, v'not lo tinok me'arisa mishulachas. If the lion goes up to the roof and takes a baby out of the cradle that's up there, that is considered very unusual. The Gemara says, pshita, of course not, because the animals normally don't climb up to the top of a roof. That's like a human habitat. We said it doesn't go into the city. So, of course, that's unusual. So, Gemara says, no, it's not so unusual because we're not talking about a house in a city. Amar Papa, kekuche ditzayadi. We're talking about some sort of like a hideout that the hunters are making in order to trap the birds. So, they make this makeshift type of a structure, and therefore, that's out in the fields, and therefore, while they're not frightened of this house and they'll go travel around there, for them to go climb up onto this makeshift type of a structure and take a baby off, that is unusual. And therefore, that is mishulachas, so it's not pshita. Then we quote the Mishnah, where it said, "Ala cherev v'chulei." We said, if there's an army coming through, if there's a cherev, so then you also cry out. So Gemara says, "Tan Rabbanu." We'll explain this further in the following brayso. So cherev shamu, that which we said, if an army comes through, ain't no tzarich lomar cherev she'ain't no shoshal. Obviously, if they're a marauding army, they're attacking you, so that's not a good sign. Ella, the chiddush is afilu cherev shoshalim. If an allied nation wants to march through your country to get to a third party, as we'll see a story with Paronicho, so then even there, Afilu Cherev Shel Shalom, they're not attacking you. They're an army that's coming through. They got tanks, they got all sorts of swords and guns, etc. But they say, no, we're not coming to attack you. We just want to go through your country to get to our common enemy on the other side of your country. Afilu Cherev Shel Shalom, She'en Lucha Cherev Shel Shalom, Yosef Paronicho. And there's no better example of a, quote, ally, friendly army that's wanting to go through your country than Paronicho was. And nevertheless, Yafabikei Nichsal Bo HaMelech Yosho. And nevertheless, Yosho didn't let him go through, as we'll see in the famous story. This is the Haftorah read on Pesach, a very famous and somewhat tragic story about the great, great, great king Yosho. So the Gemara is telling us, even in a situation where it's like what Yosho was dealing with, that Paronicho, who was a, quote, friendly army, wanted to come through, he said no, and therefore it's a calamity, it's a danger, even if a friendly army wants to come through. Now, what's the story with Yosho Shenemar? The Pasuk says, now this is a famous, famous story that we have mentioned in the Navi as well, but we're quoting here from Divrei HaYomim. And it says, Vayishlach Elov Malachim Lemor, so Paronicho sends to the Melech Yosho the following statement, Mali V'loch Melech Yudah, what are we doing? We're friends over here, you and me. We shouldn't be fighting with each other. Lo alecha ata hayom. I'm not going to fight with you today. Now, Mefarshim will explain that Yosho thought that Paronicho was just giving him a song and a dance and was just telling him a story, and he actually was coming to fight with him today, which is why Yosho didn't want to let Paronicho come through. Because after all, we could ask the question at the end of the story, what was the big deal? Why didn't he let Paronicho come through? So Mefarshim explained that he really didn't think that Paronicho had these noble aspirations just to go through his country and not start up with them and go and fight against the Assyrians. But in any event, he was telling him, Paronicho said, Kelbeis milchamti, I'm going to war against your enemy also, the Assyrians. The Elohim, now I use the Lashon over here of saying the name of a pagan god, and that's why I say the Elohim, because as more will understand this is in a form of Avodah Zarah, and not he's not talking about Elohim. Amalav Elena. His God told him to rush and to hurry up. And therefore, Chadal lecho me Elohim asherimi. And therefore, you shouldn't go and stop what God has ordered me to do. His pagan God has ordered me to do. And don't stop me. Let me go through your land, and I'm not going to hurt you, and I'm just going to go to the other side to go and fight against my enemies. Now, Yosho didn't let him go through. Now, the Gemara says, my Elohim, asherimi. Who was he referring to? Was he referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or was he referring to his idol? So I'm Yehuda Marab, Yehuda Marab says, Avodah Zarah. It was Avodah Zarah. It's Elohim. It's a non-Kadosh Baruch Hu. Omar, Ho, V'ka, Batach, V'Avodah Zarah. And Yosho said, since he's not saying Elohim sent me by saying Elohim, his pagan god, so then Yochilnele, I will definitely be victorious against him, and therefore I'm not going to let him go through. And what happened? Nebuch, they had a battle. Paronicho fights with Yoshiyahu, and unfortunately, Yosho is killed. Yosho was a tremendously righteous king. At a young age, he went to the Beis HaMikdash and saw that there was a Sefer Torah opened up to the Tochacha. The Beis HaMikdash was in disarray. His father and his grandfather were horrible kings. They all worshipped the Avodah Zarah. They didn't bring Korbanos. And he made a total revolution in Klal Yisrael. And he restored things to the point where he really was hoping that he would be able to stop the ultimate destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, albeit he was not successful. Because there still were, as some Sofer says and others say, there still were people that worshipped the Avodah Zarah. They did it in hiding, so he didn't know about it. They would hide their Avodah Zarah on like a double door, and then when they opened the door, the Avodah Zarah wasn't able to be visible because you needed to see it both on both doors closed together. So when he sent around his guards to see if there's any Avodah Zarah, they couldn't find any. So he really thought that the people had all done tshuva, whereas there still were people secretly observing their pagan gods, their Avodah Zarah. So therefore, he wasn't ultimately as successful as he thought, and therefore he wasn't zoche to the nevuah that says that you don't have to laugh. Nasati Shalom Ba'aretz, the Cherev Lo Savar Bi'Aretzichem. He wasn't zoche to that the people weren't good enough that they should deserve that, which is what he thought that they were. And that's why he told Paronicho, you're not coming through. So Amar Yudam Rav, this Avodah Zarah that Yoshio thought that Paronicho was worshipping, which he was, he thought he would be able to win. But Nebuch, he lost by Yoru HaYorim LaMelech Yoshio in the battle. He was shot at by the archers of Paronicho, by Yom HaMelech Le'avodav, and the king told his servants, Haviruni, take me out of here, so the Jewish people shouldn't see their king die in front of them and lose all their hope. Ki ha'chaleisi ma'od. I am unfortunately in a very, very dire situation. And he ultimately died shortly afterwards. Moore says, my ki ha'chaleisi ma'od. What does this mean at the end of the pasuk? Or Yehuda Marav, malami sh'asu kol gufo ki kavra. His entire body, he was pierced with 300. 300 is sometimes a Lashon Guzma, but the Gemara elsewhere uses it. He was pierced with 300 arrows, and it was like a kavra, like a sieve, that there were so many arrows piercing him. Now, why did this happen? Amar Rav Shmuel by Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yochanan is the gear that we have, but it really should be Rav Yonah's son. Mipnei manen ash Yoshio. Why was the great righteous king Yoshio, who was such a great king? It says, lo kom ki David. There never come anybody since David like Yoshio. He was a phenomenally great king. Because it was a Navi. There was the Navi Yirmiyo. And he was more halachal bnei rabo by not asking. Now, he thought it was a beferish pasuk. And therefore, that's why he didn't ask. He thought the pasuk says, the cherev lo savor b'yartzuchem. When we're good, then the goyim don't have the right to come through your land. And he should have asked Yirmiyo. He thought it was a beferish pasuk. But nevertheless, he was more halachal bnei rabo by not asking him. And some suggest he should have asked Yirmiyo, have I really cleared out the people from Avodah Zarah? And Yirmiyo would have told him, no, that you didn't do so, and therefore don't rely upon this pasuk because you don't deserve it. The people don't deserve to be relying upon this pasuk. In a moment, I'll say over a beautiful Ben Yoyada as to why Yirmiyahu didn't actively go tell him this. The whole problem is that Yosho didn't go and ask Yirmiyahu, so why didn't Yirmiyahu go and tell him? We'll see in a moment. Why not? So, he should have asked Yirmiyahu, and he didn't, and that's why he was ultimately punished. My Doresh, what was Yosho thinking? It says, the pasuk says, now, my cherev, if you're telling me that it's an army that's marauding against you, so of course, I walk seven, it's not a shalom bars. It can't be because it says in the first part of the pasuk that there won't be a war. So obviously, it's afilu shel shalom, even a army that's your ally. You shouldn't let them come into your land. However, who en yodeya sheindoro dome yofa, but he didn't realize that his generation wasn't worth this being saved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as I mentioned, because they still had avodah zarah behind their double doors, and therefore Nebuch, Yosho was killed. Now, he's about to die. Ki have a naicha nafshe, chazu Yirmiyo sivosse deka mirachshon. Yirmiyo's there. Nebuch is there at the death of the great king Yoshio. And he sees that he's moving his lips. And Yirmiyo wants to know, ay, what is he saying? Omar shema chas v'shol rachmona litzlan, milso delo mahagona. Omar, agav tzari, is he saying something that's inappropriate? Is he like blaspheming against Hashem? Is he doing something or saying something that's inappropriate, Rahman al-Islam, because of all the pain that he's in? He was just shot 300 times. So Gochin, he bends over. Yirmiyo, v'shame dekom matzdik alei dino anafshi. He's saying Tzidka din. The great King Yosho, on his deathbed, suffering, is recognizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right. He's saying Tzidka din. He's saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are righteous. Omar, Yirmiyo hears Yosho saying, Tzadik hu Hashem, ki pihu marisi. You, in fact, are the Tzaddik Hashem. I didn't listen to you. I should have listened to you. Now, some explain that I didn't use my mouth to give enough tochacha to the nation that they should stop their avodah zara. Ki pio marisi, my own mouth, by not giving enough tochacha, caused me to die in this way. But you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are right. Yirmiyahu was astonished at this. Pasach alei ha'ishaita, Yirmiyahu says at that moment, and this is what we say, these psukim were all said in Eicha, Ruach ha'peinu, the breath of our mouth, of our nostrils, Mashiach Hashem, this is the one, this is what the great King Yoshiyahu said on his deathbed. A very tragic and sad end to a great, great king. This is an unbelievable idea that we have to try to incorporate in our lives, that even when things go bad, to be matzdik the din, and don't say, it's somebody else's fault, it's not my fault. Yirmiyahu heard Yoshiyahu say, it's my fault. I take full responsibility for this tragic event. Couple of quick points. We see from here that even if you're Mora Halachal of Nerabo and you're correct, he thought he was correct, he's still not allowed to do this. That's point number one. Now, what did Yoshiyahu think? Why didn't he want to let Paro Nicho go through? So, Choshad leParo Nicho shu zomen lilochem. The Malbim writes that he was certain that Paro Nicho was just giving him a song and a dance over here. He wasn't going to fight just against Asher, but he also wanted to go and fight Klai Yisrael. And therefore, that's why Yoshiyahu was so strong in not letting him go through. And now listen to this Ben Yoyada. Ben Yoyada asked the obvious question, Madua lo gila lo Yirmiyahu dover zeh? Why didn't Yirmiyahu go tell Yoshiyahu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, let Paro Nicho go through. Do not assume that Klai Yisrael is so righteous that you'll be able to go and be victorious against them. Why didn't Yirmiyahu go do this? So listen when he brings down from the Sefer Adoros. The Ben Yoyada is a Makubal. And he often brings down various ideas about Gilgulim, which is very difficult to understand, about people that are living another life again, so to say, after they had their first life on this world. So he brings down from the Seder Doros, from the Mekubalim, Shiyoshiyahu haya Gilgul shel Achaz, that the wicked king Achaz was reincarnated in Yoshiyahu in order for him to do tshuva and to go and make a takana for all of the terrible things that he did during his lifetime. And he points out that the first letter of Yoshiyahu, Yud, and the last letter of Yoshiyahu, Vav, is Begematria 16, which is the same Gematria as Ochos. Interesting. And Yirmiyahu Navi was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Beruach HaKodesh, Sheyichosho Yoshiyahu, let Yoshiyahu go and make this mistake over here in order to give this Gilgul of Ochos a chance to do tshuva, because every single arrow that went into him and shed blood, revealed his blood, so that was a takana for his all the terrible things that he did during his lifetime, and therefore, v'hul nilkad bazeh b'chidei l'sakno. Very difficult for us to understand, but the Ben Yehuda says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Yoshiyahu fail because he was a Gilgul of Ochos, and this way it would give a takana to the wicked king Ochos. This is very difficult for us to understand. I mention it just because it's so interesting, but not because I truly understand it myself. Bar continues and says, "Ma'ase v'yardu zakenim Yerushalayim le'arein v'chulei." We quote the Mishnah where it says that one time it happened that the zakenim left Yerushalayim and declared a tainus all over Eretz Yisrael. They were masrin all over Eretz Yisrael because there was a certain amount of this shidofon in Ashkelon pi taner. That's the girsa that we have, but it really should be melo taner. And that's what they asked. Ibalu, kim lo tanur tvua? Was it enough of the shidofon that they had, that if you had grain there, it would fill up the entire oven with grain? Odilma, kim lo tanur pas? Or they were talking about that if you put in the grain and you put it into bread, so the bread would fill up the tanur. And that would have been a smaller amount. The oven full of grain is a larger amount than an oven full of bread. So which one is it? Toshma, kim lo pitanur. The girsa should be kim lo pitanur. And therefore, that implies the bread. But Dain Tibalo, they still ask the question, Ki chesuya de tanura? Odumo ki dora de rifta, the hodule lepuma de tanura? There are a couple of different ways to understand it. Did it mean that it was bread filled up in the entire tanur, or was it only like certain rows of bread? So again, it's a larger amount or a smaller amount. Take it. The Gemara doesn't come to a conclusion. We quote the Mishnah again, Yod gazu tainis al shoch luz evim chule. We said in the Mishnah that they decreed a tainus on Klai Yisrael when two Ze'evs went and killed two children. They ate up two children. Now, the Mefarshim will point out, but we just said before, if you kill even one in an unusual way, that's enough. So the Mefarshim is saying, there's Maisa Shaya. It's not a contradiction to what we said previously, but it's just this Maisa Shaya. Was it were two wolves that came and ate two children. Now, they bring down an interesting deal over here. Amar Ula Mishum Rishum Yotzadak. Ula said name Rishum Yotzadak. Maisa, this case was Ubalu Zevim Shnei Tinokas. They swallowed them. Rashi understands they swallowed them whole. Tosus doesn't understand that. Tosus disagrees and says if you swallowed it whole and then you excreted the children never whole afterwards, so that they wouldn't be metame. So they must have been digested and not swallowed whole. But Rashi says no, they swallowed them whole. In any event, Maisa Ubalu Zevim Shnei Tinokas Behekiyum Derech Beserei, and they didn't digest the children and never. They passed them out after 72 hours, which would normally be the time for ikul with an ayin. Nevertheless, the babies were passed out after that. They asked, what's the halachi status of the nebuch, these dead babies? Are they matame as a mace or not? Betiras a baser. They said the baser is not matame because the baser is considered perish. It's considered excrement. It went through the digestive tract, even though it wasn't fully digested. Nevertheless, it has the halach status of perish. However, the bones, which don't get digested, betiras atzomas, the bones still can be matame like tumas mace. Mishnah continues and says, "Aleilu masriim b'Shabbos chulei." We quote the Mishnah that says that the following disasters we go and are masriim even on Shabbos. Turn around. The price explains the Mishnah more. Ir sheikifu anachrim onar. If you have a city that is being attacked by goyim, or the waters overflowing into the city, the echod svinami terefes bayam, or you have a boat that is being tossed and turned in the water and it's about to drown. Or the echod yochid shenir dafnei nachrim, or even if an individual is being chased by the goyim. Or when they list him, or by armed robbers, or umibnei ruach ra, or the person just has a shade entered into his body. That's a ruach ra, and he's nebuch shenichnas bo ruach shade. Rashi says beruatz v'holech, and he's just running about amok b'shemo yitav benar, and because he's crazy, because of the shade, he's going to drown in the river. Oh, yipol v'yomos, he just could suddenly die. So in all of these situations, the Brisa says al kulon. If an individual is concerned about this, he can go and take upon himself a tainus. Obviously, if he's the person involved, of course he can take upon himself a tainus. But even if he's not the person involved, a yochid, the Tanakhama says, is allowed to take upon himself a tainus to prevent this from happening to him. Rav Yossi disagrees. Rav Yossi may no. Any yochid reshoy l'sagiv is asal v'tainis. Shema yitzarech l'rios. V'ena rios v'rachamus alav. Rav Yossi says, no, don't do this because you're going to be weakened by this tainis. And guess what? All the people are not going to want to support you. You're going to need help. And they're going to say, no, I don't feel like going and supporting you. You brought this upon yourself. That's the way the Marsha understands the Rashi over here. That you brought this upon yourself. So therefore, we don't want to help you. So therefore, Rav Yossi says, don't do this. My time to Rav Yossi. What's the reasoning behind Rav Yossi? So he adds an additional reason. That a person has to go and go extra and above. It's not enough to just be passive, but you have to go actively to keep yourself healthy. So it's more than just but you have an obligation not to even be in a situation that could even come. Then we quote the Mishnah, Shimon HaTimni Omer Afal HaDever V'chulei. Shimon HaTimni said that if there's Dever, you can even call out on Shabbos. But the Chacham disagreed with him. They said no. So Gemara asked, Yibay Luhu, Lo Hodu Lo Chacham B'Shabbos. What we said that the rabbis were not molded to him, was it only on Shabbos they were not molded to him, but on a week they would say, Taka, it's a good idea to call out. Avo B'chol, Hodu Lo, they agreed with him. Or Odilma Lahodul Klal. Or no, they disagree with him. They said you don't call out at all. Rashi explained because if we let you call out on a weekday, a gezerah, you may come to go call out on Shabbos. So therefore, maybe the Chacham said no, don't ever call out because you may come to call out on Shabbos. So the Gemara says Toshma, bring it right for the following price. So the Tanya it says in this price, Masriya and Ala Devar b'Shabbos ve'ein tzorech lomar b'chol, that you're allowed to be Masriya on Devar on Shabbos, and certainly you can do it on a weekday. Whereas Rav Chanan ben Piton Tamidos Rabbi Akiva Mishum Rabbi Akiva Omer Rav Chanan. Ben Pitam, who was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, said over the name of his Rabbi Akiva, no, Eim Asim El Adever, call Iker, even on weekdays. So clearly, this opinion says even on weekdays, we don't call out, according to the opinion of Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Akiva. Again, there's a lot of discussion over here. It seems to be contradictory, their opinion, with the prior Mishnayos. So they differentiate between whether you're calling out every day or whether you're calling out on Monday and Thursday by adding extra tefillos on those days, and therefore it's not a contradiction, even according to these opinions with the previous Mishnayos. Then we quote the Mishnah again, I'll call Tzorish, Shlo Tovo, Al Tzibur, Vechule. We call out, we Masriin, so a certain Tzorish shouldn't come on the Tzibur. Tan Rabbanan, I'll call Tzorish, Shlo Tovo, Al Tzibur, Masriin, Olea, Chutz, Merov, Gisham. And the Brice expands on what we said in the Mishnah. We said the same idea in the Mishnah, that on all Tzorish, you're allowed to go call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to prevent them from coming, Masriin, Olea. However, not Rov, Gishamim. Again, Rov, Gishamim is bracha, and you don't ask Hashem to stop a bracha. And that's what the word now says. My time, what's the rationale over here? Because, Amar Rav Yochanan, Lefish Ein Mispalel Rov HaTova, we never ask a Kosh Baruch Hu to stop something that's good. Amar Rav Yochanan, furthermore, Minayin Shein Mispalel Rov HaTova, how do we know you're not supposed to ask a Kosh Baruch Hu to stop something that's good? Shenema, because the Pasuk says, Haviyu Es Kol HaMaisa, Abesa Otsa Vegomer. And the rest of the pasuk says, "Harikosi lechem bracha ad bili doy." Again, it's very much is common in the situation. The vegomer is the ikra part. I don't know why the editors don't put in the vegomer, but here it's "Harikosi lechem bracha ad bili doy." That we're darshing. So my ad bili doy. At the end of this pasuk, it says ad bili doy. What does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "I'm give you all this bracha without any end to it. Ad bili doy." So Amar Rami Barav. Others have the Girsa Rav Yud. In any event, whoever it was, some suggest that this should be Rami Bar Chama. Elsewhere, Rashi says that Yud was the name of a Talmud Chacham. In any event, whoever it was that said this, he said the words Ad Bli Doi mean Ad She Yivlu Sifso Seichem Mi Lomer Dai, that your mouths will wear out, so to say, from saying Dai, enough, 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 enough. So we don't ask a Kodesh Baruch Hu to ever stop Gishmei Bracha. Other things we can ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to stop, but not Gishmei Bracha. Amar Rami by Rav Yud. Again, we have Rami by Rav Yud, assuming that's who it was. Again, the different Girsos over here. Uba Gola, however, in Bavel, which is a very low-lying area, and if you have a lot of rain there, it's Pikuach Nefasho, so Masrin Olav, there you're allowed to. In Eretz Yisrael, it's just going to be very muddy. It's going to be uncomfortable, but it's not Pikuach Nefasho, so you don't ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to stop Gishmei Bracha. But if it's Pikuach Nefasho, like it would be in Bavel, you're allowed to. And the Brisa supports what Rami Bar Rav Yud or Rami Bar Chama, whoever it was, said. Tanya Mihoch, the Brisa says the same thing. Shono Shegishomel Merubim, if there's too much rain, so Anshi Mishmar, the members of the Mishmar, the Kohanim and the Levim, go and send Sholchim Anshi Maimah, they go tell the rest of Klai Yisrael that's on call that week, Tenu Einechem B'Acheichem Shvagola, go and daven, think about your brothers that are in Bavel, in the Gola, Shlo Yubotem Kivrem, that their houses should not be Nebuch, their kevers, their graves, that it's a low-lying area and the water will flood. Rachmon Litzlan, we just saw this year something I never heard but previously, that people in the city, in New York City, were drowning Nebuch because it was a terrible flood and they had these subterranean types of apartments below, basement apartments, that the flooding was so rapid and so fast they couldn't open the doors and there were no windows and Nebuch, people drowned in their apartments. I was thinking of this Gemara, Shlo Yibotem Kivreim, Rachmon Litzlan, that their houses shouldn't end up being their Kivarim. So therefore, you're allowed to daven in Eretz Yisrael that the rain shouldn't be so bad, that in Chutz Laretz Nebuch, the people should drown. Furthermore, the Gemara says, "Shalos Urielezer ad hechem gisham yardim v'yispalu shel yerdu." How much rain does it have to be that you're allowed to go and ask a Kosh Baruch Hu to ask the rains to stop? So Amal Hemi said, "Kadesh yamod odam v'keren ofel," a person to stand in Keren Ofel, which is a very, very high place, v'shachshich raglu b'mayim, and his feet would be in the water. That's how much water. The water reached up all the way to the Keren Ofel, a high, high mountain. Gemara says, "Vatani yodav," his hands should be in the water. Gemara says, "No, that's not a stira. Raglov ki yodav kamina. If your feet are in it, that means if you bend down, you put your hands into it. So either hands or feet into it. In other words, only if the water is so high, then it's a danger. But otherwise, it's just a discomfort, and you're not allowed to go down and for the rain to stop." Gemara continues, says, "Amar Rabba Bar Chana l'didi chazili Keren Ofel." Rabba Bar Chana says, "I myself saw this place called Keren Ofel, and it's so high up." The Kam Ha'utaya, there was a certain Arab up there, Kirochav Gamlu, was riding on a camel, the Nokit Romchob Yode, and he had a spear on the top of his hand. So the guy's on a camel, which is very tall. He himself is a certain height for the person, and he's holding a spear high up in the air, and Mishazi Yeniva. And it looked to me, standing down at the bottom, that he was like a worm, like a very little creature, like a very little insect. That's how tall the mountain was. That's how far up he was. And only if the water reaches up to there is it Pikuach Nefashos. Tanu Rabbanan, we quote the following brayso: "V'nasati gishmecham bi'itam." We have the famous pasuk that says HaKadosh Baruch Hu will go bring the rain bi'itam in the proper time. Now, this means lo shikoret, not too much rain, that the ground should be like a drunk, below tzimeya, and not so thirsty that the ground shouldn't be filled up with water. Elabenis should be the normal amount of water that should come. Shekoz ma'ashah gisham merubim, because if there's too much rain, mitashet zinasaris, it makes the land all muddy, and that's not good. You know, what's your Paris? And the grounds can't support crops if it's too muddy. Alternatively, Dover Acher, and we turn to Chav Gimel Lamed Aleph. What does the word Be'ita mean? It means at the proper time. Beleil Revius, Beleil Shabbos, which fall on the night of the Revius, the night of Wednesday, which is Tuesday night, that's the start of Wednesday, and B'leil Shabbos, the night of Shabbos, which means on Friday night. Because, as Rashi points out, this is when certain Shadim would be around, and people wouldn't be on the streets anyway. So this was the perfect time for the rains to come, because nobody's out, and it doesn't inconvenience anybody, but that's adequate rain to make sure that the crops grow well. Shekein Motzino b'nei Shimon v'Shetach. It was that way during the time of Shimon v'Shetach that the people were righteous. Sheyardu lehem gisham v'leil revius v'leil shabbosos. That's when the rains came, and this was perfect to support the rain, and it didn't inconvenience the people. Achinasu chitim kikloyos. That the grains grew so well from that time of rain that the wheat was as big as a kidney. Usorim, the barley, kigarini zesim, was as big as the seeds of an olive. Very, very large. Ba'adashim, and the lentils, kidin rezov, were as big as a din rezov. Vitzaru mehem dugma ledorus, and they hid away, they bundled up some of them as a reminder for future generations. If you're good, look how great the crops could be. This is like when they put away the mun. They put away the bundles of the mun for future generations to see. If you're really good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring you food. You don't even have to go to work. Lodia, and that same idea is over here, kama hached gorim. Your sins cause you not to have parnosa. It's not that parnosa shver. It's your sins are shver. Your sins are making you not have good parnosa. And this is based upon the Pasha Ne'emar. Abnoseichem, he to Eila. Your sins, Nebuch, have turned away the rain. V'chatoseichem, monu hatov mikem. And all of your sins have caused, unfortunately, the blessings not to come upon you. It's a Pasuk in Yirmiyah. The same thing happened during the days of Herod. They were rededicating the Beis HaMikdash during his days. It had been destroyed and going into disrepair, and he really put together a tremendous effort to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Herod was a bad king, and he did this because he killed off so many Chachamim. So he says, what takana can I do? So he said, rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, which he did. But Yerodim Gishom V'Laila, and during this time, the rains came only at nighttime when it didn't disturb anybody. And Lamachar, and during the daytime, the wind blew away all the clouds. There was no rain. And the sun was shining, and everything was very good. And all the people went out to do their work. They knew they were doing work that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, gave a seal of approval to, because he made it that was beautiful during the day when they needed to work, and it rained only at nighttime. That's the way it should be when Klal Yisrael is good. We should all be zocha to such beautiful bounty. With this, we conclude today's share.